So the summer of 1996, I had just graduated from college and was getting ready to go to graduate school that fall. So I needed to make some money in the time between. So I lined up a couple different jobs, one of which a friend got me at a DJ company, Beach Boys DJs in Northeast Ohio. And I thought, I can do this. I know music. What's so hard about this? So he gets me set up, and I do my first gig. It goes great. You know, no problem. Typical wedding. So this is going to be a great summer. My second gig out, I get sent to a gig that is well outside the normal business zone of the company, which should have been my first tell that this is not our typical client. And I show up at this facility that is beautiful, huge, majestic building with a grand entrance and multiple reception halls. You could have your wedding there in the foyer entrance, that grand staircase. And the wedding that I was doing did just that. They had their wedding ceremony in the front and then a reception hall down the back. So I show up with about half an hour until it's time for the reception, plenty of time for me to set up my equipment, get going, and probably like, you know, a few minutes until the wedding ceremony is supposed to start. I get there, and the people see me, and they said, all right, you ready? We need the music. And I'm looking at them, say, what music? Now, so something about being a DJ, if you've not done it for weddings, you typically have a whole run-of-show sheet that tells you what's supposed to happen, at what time, who's doing what. It's your Bible for the evening. This is not part of that run sheet at all. And so they're expecting me to play music for the wedding ceremony, the entire wedding ceremony from the start to the end. And so, mind you, this time I had just got out of college. I had been to very few weddings, was not really paying attention to what people typically play at these events. And so I'm kind of thinking through my head, and I just grabbed some of the best hits off the top of my head, you know, Posh Bowles Cannon, play some of the music, and it goes fine. It's good enough, right? Nobody complains. And then rush down and get my equipment set up in the reception hall. So, all right, you know, going to move past that little speed bump. What's the worst that could happen? So get down there. I set up, and now we're moving into cocktail hour, and it's going to, you know, go into dinner soon. So I have standard background jazz music playing, right? Kind of typical low, soft jazz that you'd expect from this kind of event, right? If you've been to weddings, you've heard this. And as we're going along, we're getting ready for the toast, right? So I'm following my run sheet for the evening. And the maid of honor and the best man toast is coming up. So a couple minutes to go for that. So I go and find them. They go, hey, you're going to be up soon. Just give you a heads up if you want to get yourself ready. Any final notes? Maid of honor, great. Best man, who is the father of the groom? Different choice, but it's really kind of sweet. And I say, you know, you ready to go in a few minutes? And he looks at me and he says, what do I say? Yeah, and I'm thinking, wow, this must be an emotional moment for him. He's, you know, he's looking at me saying, what do I say? The man is not familiar with the concept of the toast. This seemed to be news to him that he was giving it. No preparation, and it's a few minutes if we're staying on track for the evening. So I proceed to grab a cocktail napkin and write the toast. So if you weren't tracking this story, I don't know these people. I have no context or background for the relationship that this man has with his son. I scribble out a toast, hand it to him, and a couple minutes later, the father of the groom is delivering the toast that I wrote to his son. So now my footing is unsure. I'm kind of like on a swivel, like this is not going at all like I thought. And so we kind of proceed through, you know, dinner's going fine then. And then one of the sets of parents comes over to me. Mind you, the parents had all been divorced. The two sets of parents had been divorced. At some point, everybody had remarried. So there's four sets of parents, which kind of comes up a little bit later. And one set comes over and says, we'd like you to make an announcement that in a couple minutes, the bride and groom are going to open the large gifts on the dance floor. And they say large gifts. And so I look back and I say, I'm kind of half joking. I said, the large gifts? And they look at me deadpan. The large gifts. So I make an announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the dance floor where the bride and groom will now open the large gifts. And they head over to the gift table and kind of push to the side anything that is not like the size of this box and come over in the middle of the dance floor and open up those gifts. And every wedding I've played or been to since, I've never seen that happen again. So now I'm really continuing down this journey of I don't know what this sheet is for, like what's going on. And so we get to the end of the dinner service, and then the mother of the bride comes over to me, and she's an interesting character. She comes over and she looks at me dead in the eyes and says, "Turn off this middle class crap and let's rock." That should have been an indication of where things were heading. So I obliged them, and we transitioned to the music. I think I played some AC/DC to get things going, and next thing you know, the dance floor is kind of filling up with people, and so now it's all right. We're kind of now we're in the part that I'm real comfortable with, right? Just kind of music back and forth, and I'm noticing, you know, there's a little commotion on the edge of the room, but nothing really, you know, too out of sight. And I am starting to notice, though, that the manager for the facility is starting to kind of make some appearances in a little more than I would expect. There's multiple reception halls in this place. Not expecting to see this man popping in and out that much. So my spidey sense is kind of going off a little bit. So we're going along, and then the mother of the bride comes back to me and says, "Let's get the conga line going now." Sure, no problem. So we transition into Buster Poindexter, Hot, Hot, Hot. Many of you have probably danced to it at a wedding in the last 30 years. And that starts going, and the conga line is off. Not being led by the bride, not being led by the groom, being led by the mother of the bride. This is her conga line. Again, untraditional choice. And they're going along and snaking around this room. And now I'm really starting to see the manager come in. And there's kind of almost kerfuffles. There's definitely some action among these different sets of parents, right? So, you know, the fact that everybody's divorced and remarried kind of indicated there's a little disharmony. And this conga line is going around, and she is passing the tables, leading this thing. And at this point in time, coffee service had come out, so on the tables there's little baskets of, you know, sugar and creamers. And, you know, she is grabbing the baskets and flinging them in the air. And so there's sugar packets just kind of floating through the room. In addition to that, before that happened, she snakes by the bar, and she grabs a bottle of tequila, takes a swig as she's leading it, and this is not like, "Hey, all right, here you go." This is her drink. This is her beverage that she's drinking as she just goes. And the whole line is following her, so this is not their first rodeo. And so now I'm seeing the manager is back. He's got quite a few of his staff with him, and there's kind of a, they're meeting, and he's talking to these parents. And at some point, he kind of comes over closer to me, and he's giving me kind of the, like, "You need to start wrapping this up, because it's getting very volatile." And that mother of the bride sees this, and she beelines it over to me, and she says, "You do not turn off that music." So I'm kind of like, they're paying for this. What do I do? And within a few more minutes, there's definitely some skirmishes. The staff is lining the perimeter of the room, almost like if you go to a Ravens game at the fourth quarter, you see the ushers, you know, their security cordon just in case things turn. They are ready. And at that point, then the manager just comes over to me and he goes like that. And so I kill the music. And what usually takes about 20 minutes to pack up all the gear, I did it in like 5. I got my van and I got out of there. And so, you know, got away unscathed, might have left some stuff behind. I don't know, don't care. And, you know, from that evening, I learned that there is a lot more to being a DJ than just knowing how to pick good songs. Thank you.